Good morning, church.
Morning.
Great to be with you this morning. And I've been praying much about our time together and this next number of weeks. What is it that would see a self-centered, strong-willed, big personality person become gentle and humble and one who prefers others over herself? What enables someone to look in the face of someone who has hurt them time and time again, and with all sincerity, forgive them? What is it that would take someone who calls himself a believer, yet values material possessions as much or more than people who don't know God? And changes them into a generous, exceedingly generous person? What is it that takes someone who is fearful and timid and makes them bold and confident? I want to talk to you this morning as we're going to enter into a series on, I think, perhaps one of the most important things, topics that you will ever encounter as a follower of Jesus Christ. We've just come off an incredible series called Unstoppable Love, and we've been learning about what it is to have the very life and love of God in and through us. But I'll tell you something, you will never be able to do that on your own. Because most of you in this room, if you're anything like me, are more concerned about your own life, your desires, your wants, and life is more about you. Would that be true? But God, in his great love for us, never asks us to do something or to be like something that he does not enable us and equip us to do or be. He is so good. Religion holds up a standard and takes a whip out and tries to make you become a certain thing, do all these kinds of things in order to somehow, someday, maybe earn your way. But God in his great mercy and Jesus in his wonderful plan has a whole way better idea. And that is that he is going to literally come and dwell within you, and he is going to help you by living his life as you cooperate with him in this day and age. And he will empower you to do that. How good is our God? Now, some of you, as we embark on a bit of a series on the Holy Spirit, some of you who might be seeking God or you know, exploring the teachings of Jesus Christ, you might wonder, what does this have to do with me? I kind of wanted to learn something about how I get through this week or how I deal with my kids or my spouse or deal with the financial pressure that I have in my life. And I want to give you a little secret today, and that's this. It may not be what you think you need right now, but it's absolutely the most important thing you need. And it's the same for the believer in the room. And our prayer's been that this would not just be some sort of a head understanding, you know, kind of experience over the next 6 weeks, but rather that literally God and his very presence would just descend upon us and in us and change us as a community of faith. And some of you have your antenna going up right now because you have heard some pretty crazy things about the Holy Spirit, or you've seen some things that you don't understand and you don't want any part of, or you've sat under teaching from some famous South California preacher that thinks that this is all just craziness. And I want to say to you that you cannot read your Bible with any integrity and say that this has no application for you. The great author and preacher A.W. Tozer said this about the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit or nothing. And I know what some of you are thinking, because you have such a desire to exalt Jesus Christ. You wouldn't want anything to overshadow that. And in fact, you've received teaching that the role of the Holy Spirit is not to glorify himself, but actually to exalt Christ, which is true. But we cannot let a particular role of the Holy Spirit overshadow who he is in all of his glory and splendor. And I am just so excited about this. I pray so much for this series. It reflects a bit of a journey that Leah and I have been on over the last couple of years. And all I can say is, if you come on the journey, friends, the reward is so rich in your soul. We have a subtle theological danger as Christians in our conception of the Holy Trinity. The Trinity, I know for you that are new, this might be difficult, because it's a finite minds trying to understand an infinite concept, and it just breaks down at some point. But the scripture affirms this core truth to Christianity, that God is a triune God. He's one. One essence, God is one, one essence. In three persons, that in this one essence are three distinguishable persons, yet you cannot separate all three of them. And here's the theological danger for many of us that we so easily drift into. And it actually robs us of the richness of what God wants for us. And that is this, that we have a danger to make three separate gods out of the Trinity. And therefore, we have an affinity to one of the three. And some of you, you're drawn to God the Father. For some of you, it's God the Son, Jesus Christ. And others, it's God the Holy Spirit. And I want to say to you that one essence, three persons, you might be able to distinguish between them, but you can never separate them. Now hang on with me, because this will get easier. You okay out there? Are we okay so far? It's absolutely important that we understand this. So God's plan, right from the beginning, was that when we trust in Christ, He comes to dwell within us. The mistake we subtly make is that only the Holy Spirit comes in. If God is inseparable in all of his wonder of his Trinity, then I want to posit to you that this morning that when the Spirit comes, there is an essence in which so does the Father and so does the Son. That's why the Apostle Paul could say, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I think this is so powerful for us to understand the power and the strength of what the Scripture teaches. I'm just going to back up and just plunge right in. It is God's plan for every single follower of Jesus Christ to be indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. We see this in the Old Testament prophecies about people. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, God is promising to his people, you know, they followed God. God was external. They had the Ten Commandments on tablets of stone, the letter of the law, all of that. And God had a plan that actually that wasn't where it was supposed to be forever. He was actually going to make a transition. And here we read about the prophecy about it. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give, or a heart of stone and give to you a heart of flesh. He goes on and he says this, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and to be careful to obey my ordinances. You see, he's going to take it from external, God is there dwelling in a tabernacle, and the law written on stone, and he's going to transfer it and give us a new heart of flesh and put his spirit within us that will enable us to do this and to obey him. The prophet Joel prophesied in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 9, I will pour out my spirit, says the Lord, on all people. Not just select ones in the Old Testament that actually got to do some pretty neat things for God, where the spirit would descend on them, they would do stuff, and then he would not remain on them. I'm going to pour my spirit out on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Jesus picked up this theme and he said in John chapter 14, he gave very specific teachings on the Holy Spirit and how he's going to, his empowering presence in our lives. And Jesus said to his disciples before he was leaving, he said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. That is, or that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. Talking about the Holy Spirit. And he's going to give you another helper, the very same as me. Just as I have helped you here on earth, I'm going to give to you the Holy Spirit who will help you. John 14, 18, he says to his disciples, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. In verse 20 he said, and in that day when I will come to you, in that day you will know that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. We even have this glimpse here that even God the Father in Christ is going to be in us. You see how we've so segregated the Trinity that only the Spirit's in us. And that's not what the Scripture's teaching us. It's imperative for us to understand that whether you are considering becoming a Christian, whether you're a brand new believer, whether you are a tired believer or a longtime believer, how important the coming of the Holy Spirit is for you. Here's a statement that I took and from a bunch of different readings from our founder, A.B. Simpson, made a new one, and it says this, that the coming of the Holy Spirit was to make the indwelling, transforming, and empowering presence of Jesus intensely real in the lives of his followers. Simpson said some pretty amazing things. He said that the Spirit brings the divine presence of the Trinity into the human heart, and especially that of Christ. The very presence of the Lord Jesus himself, the living word, and the one eternal revelation of the Father coming in through the Holy Spirit and filling and empowering and his living presence indwelling and abiding in each one of us. This is God's plan for us. And if this was so critical, that he would actually come and live within us and enable us to become the people he wants us to and actually empower us to do the things he calls us to do, who wants us to experience his presence in our lives and will walk with us and guide with us and do so many incredible things for us, it amazes me how the church has kept the Holy Spirit at arm's length for so many reasons. And there may be some cause for you to at least be wise about the Holy Spirit, but I'm telling you this, most of the church has thrown out the baby with the bathwater out of fear, out of incomplete teaching, out of personal distaste, and frankly, out of a lack of surrender, because we don't want to be controlled by anyone but us. And we have lost the power that the early church had. The coming of the Holy Spirit was to make the indwelling, transforming, and empowering presence of Jesus intensely real to us. That's why he came. That's what he's about. And in light of all that he does, it baffles me. He goes on in John chapter 16 and he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him away." You see, Jesus says something absolutely incredible, that there is something better, someone better, even than his own very visible bodily presence among us, that is coming. This ought to ignite our understanding of how incredible the Holy Spirit is and should fuel our desire to be familiar with and filled with his presence. It amazes me that Christ taught that the Spirit is of more value in us than his very own visible bodily presence. Yet, Christians seem to totally ignore, or worse, downplay, and even worse than that, to despise the very presence of the Holy Spirit of God. It's shocking to me. Friends, it is to your advantage here this morning. More advantage than if Jesus were physically walking in this room. It is more to your advantage that the Holy Spirit was released and comes into your life and fills you. You know what it's like to try to get to see someone you can't because they're so busy? You ever have that frustration? If Jesus was physically here in bodily presence, you'd have to wait in line. And not only because all the people in this church, but every other church. So what he did was he gave his very presence through his Holy Spirit to come and fill every single believer so that every single one of us has the very dynamic, real, empowering presence of Jesus Christ himself within us. The problem is we don't believe that to be true. And hence our weakness. So if you're brand new, I want you to understand this. Or if you're seeking God, part of the plan of becoming a follower of Jesus Christ is not like religion where you have to just do a bunch of things. It is literally surrendering your life to Jesus Christ and inviting his full presence, the presence of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Father, to come into you, to forgive all of your wrong, and to receive his presence, and then to be filled and empowered by that presence every day, to listen to his voice, to get to know him and to walk in his power. And he has promised he would never, ever leave you or forsake you. He's promised that he would open the word of God to you. He has promised that he would bear witness with your spirit or speak to you and affirm that you're his child. It's to your advantage, friends, that Jesus went away that he might send the Spirit of God. Question. In your heart of hearts, do you really believe that that is true? We all need the Holy Spirit's power. What we're going to be talking about in this series. I just want you to understand very quickly. We all need the Holy Spirit's power, his empowering presence. You need him if you're not yet a follower of Jesus. You need him more than you'll ever know. Because left to yourself, you will never come into living relationship with Christ. Did you know that? Religion, you can choose to enter in or enter out. That's up to you. But not real relationship with the living God. That has to be done by God the Holy Spirit. He is the one that awakens your soul to him. He is the one that reveals the reality of him, that reveals the truth of the scripture. He is the one that draws you towards Christ. He is the one that begins to convict you of your sin and to convince you that Jesus is really the way, the truth, and the life. You can never get to God by yourself. You can get to a God of religion by yourself, but you cannot get to a real dynamic relationship with the living Christ alone. You need the Spirit of God. So for you, you could just ask him, Holy Spirit, help me to come into an experiential understanding and knowledge, relationship with God through Christ. And he will answer that prayer for you. Because he has promised to convince you and to convict you and to draw you and awaken you. We all need the Holy Spirit. If you especially have made that step and now you're a follower of Christ, you need the Holy Spirit to engage in the disciplines of Jesus. And that is to actually live this kind of a life as he fills us with his Holy Spirit to understand the Word of God. He illumines the Scripture. Now as believers, now he wants to teach us. And you need the Holy Spirit of God to understand the Word of God. So you get to know him. You get to know how to live, to obey his commands, to understand yourself, to understand God, how to live life in the kingdom. You need the Holy Spirit to empower your prayer, to lead you into places of solitude and fasting. You need the Holy Spirit to worship God. You need the Holy Spirit. Here's the deal. When the Holy Spirit becomes to really engage in your life and fill you anew and afresh, then you're not just standing there listening to music. You're engaged with the risen one himself. That actually happens. And you are worshiping him. You need the Holy Spirit's power to enable you to become generous and to release your goods and your money towards God and his purposes in this kingdom. That will not happen by yourself. You need the Holy Spirit to help you to become consistent and overcome sort of spiritual laziness, because the natural drift for believers is just sort of into a malaise or routine or rut. And we need the Holy Spirit's power. We need the Spirit to become more like Jesus. He actually begins to transform your very character. Changes your attitudes. And the beautiful thing is he changes the affections of your heart, what your heart longs for. We sang about this week, about what our hearts long for. At the beginning, you know, it's like, our hearts are still entwined with things. But to actually have affection for Christ and his purposes and his plans, he does that. The Holy Spirit produces these fruit. As we become more like Jesus, we see the fruit of the Spirit becoming more like Christ in our love and in our peace and in our patience and in our joy. and our ability to suffer long. We need the Spirit to overcome sin, and we're going to talk about this dynamic. And this is one thing the Holy Spirit has sort of convicted me of, and that is that, rightly so, we teach so much that God forgives us of our sin. And we can keep coming back to Him for forgiveness. But the power of the Spirit igniting the Word of God and the application of what Jesus has done actually gives us power over sin, so we don't have to. We're going to talk about that in a whole sort of, I think it's next week. Isn't that good news? Instead of the cycle of sin, forgive, shame, forgive, sin, ask God to forgive us, this is right. There's an injection in there when we actually understand and are filled with this Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit applies the triumphant work of the cross to actually render sin defeated and gives us now the power to choose not to sin. It's not just, you know, forgiveness from sin. He gives us power over sin, to a whole new level of obedience and joy in the Christian life. We'll hear that next week, sorry. And to continue the mission of Jesus, we need the Holy Spirit enabling us, because He gives us spiritual gifts, divine enablements to be able to do things for Him and His kingdom, to strengthen the church, to extend the kingdom of God. He empowers us to witness for Him and to speak for Him and to stand for Him and to stand for justice and compassion and all of these wonderful things. He changes our demeanor to turn us from fearful into, you know, courageous, from timid to bold. Not to ignorant or obnoxious, but to bold. And He takes our weaknesses and He uses them to show His strength. We need the Holy Spirit to continue the mission of Christ. And lastly, we need the Holy Spirit to deepen our experience of the risen Christ Himself, to increase the dynamic of the relationship. Where Jesus increasingly becomes more real to us. And we begin to experience actual relationship and hearing of His voice and love for Him. Not just out of duty like the beginning, but actually love for Him. We need the Spirit's power, church. We need the Spirit's power. So we're going to talk in this series next week about how He actually transforms us. And then we're going to talk about how He actually empowers us to do things. And then we're going to talk about what often stops us. And we want to address those things and tackle them. Bring them to the foot of the cross and leave them there. And then we're going to learn about what it means to walk in the Spirit, not just to have Him dwell with us, but actually to walk in His Spirit. And then a real treat, and I'm just so sick, I'm not going to be here for this. But our president, David Hearn, is going to be here, and he is going to speak on the filling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God. And he is going to give you opportunity. I'm telling you now, there will be opportunity for you to respond, to be filled, baptized, renewed in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm praying that we'll be taking these weeks to create the environment and to open our understandings. And you're going to have an opportunity to just lay yourselves open to God and say, "Come, Holy Spirit." Now, to really mess with some of your minds in the last 2 minutes, I got 5 minutes and 30 seconds left. I want to give some of you a new perspective, and that is this. And with the Christian Missionary Alliance, we believe this has been our history. There are three baptisms in the New Testament. And I want you to understand that. And our prayer is that it will be your experience. The first one is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that means when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes into you, and he then baptizes you into the body of Christ. You become part of the family of God. We then give testimony to that, and he does a special work in our hearts at the baptism of water, with water. In the first one, the first baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit is the baptizer. Get it? The Spirit baptizes the believer into the body of Christ. In baptism by water, when a believer trusts in Christ, then they are baptized, they're submerged in the water, they're brought up. The baptizer is the church. And in the third baptism, this is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And the baptizer is Jesus, where he baptizes the church with his Spirit, the believer. And I know that would be very new to some of you to understand, but I want you to understand this. It is very, very true. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, this is not on the screen. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit is the baptizer, and he baptizes the believer into the body of Christ. Baptism in water, we all know many verses about this. Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel or make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The baptizer is the church. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is mentioned a few times. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John says, I baptize you with water, but he, speaking of Jesus who's going to come after him, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the baptizer. The early church, these were believers. Jesus pronounced them clean. They were to wait for the promise of the Father. Acts chapter 1, 5 talks about this. He was baptizing you in the Spirit. And so these believers were baptized in the Spirit of God. The baptizer is Jesus. And he baptizes us with his Holy Spirit. I want us to understand that the role of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know some of you, again, it's just probably just a little, ooh, man. But this is for people in the church, not for those of you who are new. This is not an issue for you. You're like, whoa, cool. It's all of us who have baggage we've got to undo. Remember, the Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. And when he fills you, he brings the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of the Father, and he fills you. As Tozer said, he's a perfect gentleman. Don't worry. What I'm asking you, and I believe God is asking us as a community of faith, if we're ever going to reach our vision of becoming a loving community that intentionally follows Jesus and sacrificially expresses his transforming presence in the world, we must be anointed afresh, baptized anew, filled with the Spirit. I don't care what word you use. I know some of you got your theological camps, and, well, the baptism happened at conversion, and then you're filled later. I don't care what word you use. I study every word through the book of Acts. You know what? They use the word baptized, filled, came on, fell upon. Doesn't matter what word you call it. It's the experience of having God fill you and just consume you. Just open your heart to his fullness, whatever you want to call it. And I believe God is calling us to do that. We will never personally be changed enough to be a transforming presence in our world. And we will never be able to love each other enough to be able to do this as a community.
without him.
That was his plan. This isn't some deluxe edition of Christianity. This is part and parcel of what God intended from the beginning, what Jesus talked about, and was supposed to be natural. And we've allowed theology and bad experience to rob us of our rightful identity. And Simpson said there was so much more that we're supposed to be experiencing, but we have just let it go and surrendered it. And Satan has used it to create all kinds of fear and division in the church. So friends, if you have any trust in me and your elders at all, I'm asking you, come with us. Trust us. But more than us, you trust the Word of God and you trust Christ himself. The Holy Spirit's plan to come and fill us and empower us to live through us the very life of Jesus is exactly what he promised in the beginning. So what I'm asking you, and I believe what God wants us to do, is to open our minds, because some of us have constructs that we might need to tweak. That we would open our hearts, our wills, our spirits, even our bodies, all that we are, to the very presence and empowering of God the Spirit. And to believe that he wants to and will empower your life, increase the relational dynamic between you and Christ, and will help you in your spiritual journey. The pathway, however, is through humility, to become poor in spirit, to give up control, to die to self, to surrender. These are all kind of words that Christ and the Apostle Paul used to talk about what it means to engage in the experience of having Christ live his very life through us in fullness. To willing to have Christ as the functional Lord of your life. Not some head of state kind of symbolic head of your life. No, the real functional Lord of your life. And it takes great hunger for his presence. And this is my great prayer for us this morning, that we would hunger for the presence of God. So when we sing a song like, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, it's true. We want him to come and flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Because it's the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of the Father. This Holy Spirit, we want him to come. His glory, his presence is what we long for. I don't want just to do religion under the guise of Christianity. I want an empowered life in dynamic relationship with the Spirit of God, for that's his plan and intention for each one of us. And together, collectively, that's his plan for our spiritual family called Summit. My prayer has been that you'd be willing to be willing. That you would ask God for hunger. And that God would begin to prepare your hearts for his fullness and presence. So bow your heads with me. I just want you to take a moment, and in the quietness of your heart, I want you to be gut honest with God. He knows what you're thinking anyway. But it's better if you have the authentic vulnerability to just say it in your spirit to him. If you're afraid, or if you don't believe, or if you don't want to give control of your life to him, just tell him. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to make you willing to be filled afresh with his wonderful presence. Ask him to give you hunger for God. Ask him to reveal to your heart, where is the stronghold where you're not willing to give up? What is it? Is there some affection that you actually allow to trump the presence of Jesus and his leadership in your life? Is it your image, that you like your image of being in control and a little bit aloof and actually having it all together, that you think by surrendering to the Spirit, you're going to be a freak? Let's just be honest. Some of you believe that in this room, and I'm asking you, lay that thought down. Just tell him, whatever you need to tell God this morning, just tell him in your heart. Just tell him. And whatever you need to ask him, ask him. So that we're not a church that just does religion under the guise of Christianity, but actually doesn't even believe God and aren't even open to his presence. I'll give you 1 minute alone with God now. Let's do that. Lord Jesus, we give up. Self-sufficient Christianity. We ask you to forgive us, O God, if we have intentionally kept your Spirit at arm's length. I ask that you would make us willing . Oh Jesus, give us hunger for you and your Spirit. Help us to understand that when we do, we don't dishonor Christ or the Father. It actually magnifies our love and our worship of them. So, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. I ask you to lead us as a congregation. I don't want just a couple of people running away. I want as a congregation, as a family, Jesus, meet us and lead us into the fullness of your presence. Young and old, rich and poor, of every nation, new believer and older believer. Those who seem to have it all together and those who are very broken. Come, O God. We pray to release your Spirit to our church. Come and fill us anew and afresh, we pray. So thank you for the openness of heart and mind and spirit to you. And we look forward to where you take us and how you'll change us for your glory, for our benefit, and for the good of this world around us. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.